As Congress continues its investigations into the collapse of Enron, one area to come under scrutiny is the role that Wall Street played. Most Wall Street analysts were bullish on Enron's stock, and they stayed that way, even as the company was skidding towards bankruptcy last year. Now, some in Congress are wondering whether the analysts' views were swayed by the money their firms earned doing business with the Houston energy giant.
Like most publicly traded companies, Enron regularly held telephone conference calls with Wall Street analysts to update them on its earnings prospects. Those calls may shed some light on how the company was able to keep the analyst community so bullish for so long. NPR's Jim Zeroli reports.
Enron was an aggressive company that moved in and out of new markets with unusual speed. It was always surprising Wall Street with ideas for new businesses, and the company had been so successful no one really questioned too much whether its ideas would work. In the case of the so-called Braveheart deal, this lack of scrutiny enabled the company to obscure some of its losses. In July 2000, the company announced it was teaming up with Blockbuster to start a video-on-demand home broadband service. Mark Kersey is a broadband and cable analyst at the consulting firm ARS Incorporated.
People were very happy about the deal because it made sense. You know, you take this one high-flying company that seems to be getting really aggressive about expanding into this broadband thing, and then take another company that's the established leader in delivering the content that can go over these broadband lines. And so people were, people were very optimistic at the time about what the prospects were.
Enron officials spoke about the Blockbuster deal with enormous optimism. Shortly after the announcement on July 24th, President Jeff Skilling was asked during a conference call with analysts why Enron thought it could compete in video-on-demand services when it had less broadband capacity than other companies. Skilling said Enron just had a different business model.
We believe at this point we are the only people that could provide this comprehensive service to Blockbuster or anybody for that matter that has a technically sophisticated video application. We believe that that's kind of our space and that's the one that we want to dominate, and we think at this point we've got capabilities that no one else in the marketplace has.
By October, Skilling told analysts that Enron was ready to begin test marketing its new system, and he predicted that the venture would bring in $1 billion in revenue for Enron down the road. During the fourth quarter of the year, Enron's books would show that the venture had made a profit, even though the system then had fewer than 1,000 customers, most of them non-paying. During a January 2001 conference call, Skilling said the system was up and running.
As a wholesale service provider, we are delivering movies on demand in select areas of Seattle, Portland, Salt Lake City, and New York City. We believe that we have a very unique and powerful commercial proposition that, packaged with this proven technology, creates an enormous opportunity in one of the world's fastest growing markets.
A few months later, in March, just 8 months after the project began, Enron suddenly announced it was pulling out of the deal. It said Blockbuster had been too slow winning permission from the studios to air their movies. Mark Kersey says the sudden collapse of the deal took everyone by surprise, including Blockbuster.
At the time, Blockbuster was rather confused as to where the whole thing was headed. They were under the impression that this was something that was going to be developed over a period of a couple of decades, and they didn't really understand why Enron was showing so much impatience.
What no one realized was what Enron was doing behind the scenes. The company had formed a partnership named Project Braveheart after the Mel Gibson movie. The partnership's only asset was Enron's share of future revenue from the Blockbuster deal. Enron then persuaded a Canadian bank to invest more than $100 million in the partnership in exchange for the profits. To sweeten the deal, Enron promised to reimburse it if the project made no money. Illinois Senator Peter Fitzgerald spoke about the partnership at a hearing last week.
There was one written report about the Braveheart partnership where Braveheart borrowed $115 million from Canadian Imperial Bank of Commerce. Enron guaranteed their borrowings, and then Braveheart took $110 million of that and paid it to Enron for a worthless broadband video business that had no revenues to speak of, no clients, and no income.
But even without revenue or income, the partnership did wonders for Enron's bottom line. Over two quarters, Enron was able to book a quick profit of more than $100 million. That helped obscure some of the losses from its broadband unit. The company and its shareholders would pay the price down the road when the blockbuster deal's profits went to the Canadian bank. But in the meantime, Enron was able to satisfy Wall Street that it was making money and keep its stock price high. And if any Wall Street analysts were skeptical about what was going on, they appear to have kept their suspicions to themselves. Jim Zaroli, NPR News, New York.